Today, on Commitment to Truth.
The only requirement for baptism was to what? Believe. In other words, I think in my mind and in my heart that Jesus Christ came to die for me. He was buried for me. He rose again for me. And I believe this to be true.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
One of the fascinating questions that many people ask about baptism is this, is that, am I really ready? Am I ready for baptism? It seems as though some people are waiting for this perfection or this moment of perfection to manifest itself in their lives. But if you live life long enough, or you live life in Christ long enough, you know that you are not going to ever reach a place of perfection, but we die daily so that Christ may live within us. And at the end of the day, dying daily so Christ may live within us is also a very complicated and difficult task of a believer. It's interesting. Some people even say, well, I have to first join the church. Well, if you put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus, you are in the church already. The church that Christ is the head of, right? The visible church, you are part of it. You're part of the supernatural church, that we are parts and parts of the body in which Christ, again, is the head. This church called Commitment Community Church is but a small representation of the bigger church that Christ is the head of. So it can't then be that I'm waiting to join a church. Then people also say, well, I want to wait till the summertime. You know, when they're, seriously, literally, you know, when the weather gets better, or I've even heard some wonderful women say, hey, Pastor, you don't understand, I just got my hair done. And some of you, it's a little more complicated than others, right? But at the end of the day, there seems to always be some reason why I shouldn't be baptized. But there's only one qualification or one thing that a person needs to do before they're ready for baptism. That's what we're going to uncover and unpack today. There's one requirement for baptism. So if you can, open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 8. Begin with verse 26. We're going to read verses 26 through 39. And we have some other peripheral verses that we'll dive into today. It says, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. Verse 27, it says, so he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. And Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Verse 32, it says, now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter. This is Jesus that the prophet Isaiah is prophesying. And as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate to his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. Verse 34. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus to him, not a church, not any other created being, but he did what? Preached Christ and Christ alone. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Now, what you can ascertain from this verse number six is that in verse number 35, he must have gave him a clear explanation of Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection, and this outward expression that began to be applied in the first century church, which was called baptism. Okay, baptism, we know John the Baptist was one who baptized, though, you know, pre-Christ's arrival and when Christ arrived. Therefore, Christ himself was baptized, right? But it continued now for a more strategic reason for the first century church. Now, it goes on to say in verse 37, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, this is why we exclaim here in our church, or in most evangelical churches, is that babies are not to be baptized, okay? Because they can't yet, what? Believe or even communicate that they believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So what we do as an alternative is we dedicate them back to the Lord. Lord, you've given us our children for a season. Here, we give them back to you for a lifetime. So that being said, he goes on and says in verse 38, it says, and he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. So what is this simple requirement, but yet profound requirement of a believer? If you look at verse number 37 again, like the Ethiopian eunuch, the only requirement for baptism was to what? Believe. The original definition of this word believe, just to make sure we understand, is this: to think to be true. In other words, I think in my mind and in my heart that Jesus Christ came to die for me. He was buried for me. He rose again for me. And I believe this to be true. Second part of the definition is to be persuaded. So persuasion simply says now this belief system begins to now affect my lifestyle, right? I'm now begin to be persuaded by Christ. Now, some of you know, and truth be told, is this persuasion takes a lifetime, right? And that's why there's a theological term called progressive sanctification. When you come to know Jesus Christ, you immediately sanctify through the power of his Holy Spirit who lives within you. The finished work of Jesus Christ sanctifies you immediately. But then there's this progressive sanctification, which simply says we are being sanctified until set apart, holy, until we see him face to face, when it ultimately becomes completed. This decaying, sinful body is exchanged for what? A perfect one. Therefore, there's no dance, if you would, no tension anymore between the flesh and the spirit, because I'm now complete in Christ in heaven with him. Makes sense. So that being said, again, the believe means to think to be true, begin to be persuaded. In other words, my lifestyle begins to align up with it. And then thirdly, to place confidence in. At the end of the day, a follower of Jesus Christ have to get to a point that my ultimate confidence is in Christ and Christ alone. As a wife, your confidence is not in your husband. As a husband, your confidence is not in your profession or your wife or the power and prestige that you have the privilege to exercise on this earth. Okay, it's not in your parents, children. Your confidence is not in your parents. Our confidence is in no one else but Christ and Christ alone. So again, we know as well, when you come to know Jesus Christ, you're still going to have confidence in someone else other than Christ. But progressively over time, what should happen is you become more and more confident in Christ and Christ alone, right? So when you look at these three parts of the definition, it's to give you confidence that, okay, my first step is maybe I'm not yet fully fully what? Persuaded, because I don't know all things, nor will I always know all things. Right? You may have some tension with, well, you know, but I still like hanging out with my friends. I still am a little bit persuaded by some other things other than Christ, but you believe. But you believe. And that's where many people get confused. They're like, well, you know, but I don't go to church every Sunday. Show me a chapter and verse that he says that that is a requirement for you to be baptized. Eventually, you should be persuaded to lock in and be a part of a local church. But that is not the pre-qualifier. Eventually, you should be completely confident in Christ alone. But you know as well as I do, it shifts depending on seasons in life, situations in life, people in life. You're confident in certain things, you're not confident in others. But ultimately, we need to become confident in Christ alone over time, period. It should be the aim. Makes sense. But you believe. Believe what again? In Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 41, after Peter preaches his first post-resurrection message, he says this. Chapter 2, verse 37 and through 41. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what should we do? Peter said to them, repent, each one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, the proper vernacular is this, because your sins have been forgiven. Repent, be baptized. Because your sins have been forgiven. Not so your sins can be forgiven, but I am being baptized because I understand through the finished work of Jesus Christ, my sins have been washed away. Therefore, I'm baptized. Then it goes on to say, then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then skip to verse 41. It says, so then those who had received this word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. So you see the sequence, right? It's not, okay, because some would think, oh, I got to be baptized, and then I'm better. You are better because of Christ, therefore you are baptized. It's kind of like when you get married. Well, I'm not ready for marriage. Well, who is ready? You get ready when you get married. You just kind of learn on the fly. And 35 years later, I'm still learning on the fly. And, you know, anyone who says, oh, I gotta get this in order, that in order. Well, I got to get my finances in order. There's some good stewardship in that. But chances are, you know what's going to happen? You'll get married and realize, oops, you didn't tell me you had all that debt. Well, you didn't tell me you had all that debt. Well, you didn't tell me that you had a problem with buying, and you didn't tell me you had a problem. And then you have all that stuff that starts surfacing. So no matter how much due diligence you do prior to getting married, once you get married, there's still going to be things that you're going to discover that you have to become persuaded by. Confident in. It's no different than Jesus. The closer and closer you get to him, you realize the more and more, the less and less of you need to be in this relationship with Jesus. Can we turn quickly to Isaiah 53? Remember we were saying that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah? Let's see a little deeper what he was reading. Isaiah 53 is what he was landing on when Philip came to jump in the chariot with him. Just want to read verses 1 through about 6. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He was no stately form of majesty, that we could look at him, nor an appearance that we would take pleasure in him. He was despised and abandoned by men, a man of great pain, and familiar with sicknesses, and like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we had no regard for him. However, it was our sickness that he himself bore, and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assume that he had been afflicted, struck down by God, and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's why he says, I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ came to die a horrific death. He took my sickness of sin upon himself. Therefore, I am set free, and I believe this. Where's the water? So what you can find, again, nestled within this, is that he believes that Jesus Christ came. Do you believe that Jesus Christ came for you? Do you believe that Jesus Christ suffered and died for you? Do you believe that he conquered the grave for you? So how does one, again, prepare themselves for baptism? Verse 37, back in chapter 8, believe with all your heart that Jesus says he is who he says he is. That he is who he says he is. Secondly, find water. Just as simple as that. Maybe today you need to find some clothing, and we have that for you too. Find water, and there's nothing that prevents you. Amen? Today, real simple, one simple question. Do you believe? And if you believe, here's water. What prevents you?
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the Administrative and Executive Director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
I remember growing up back in Compton, California, where we had to rehearse and practice earthquake drills in elementary school and middle school and high school, just in case we had that great big shaken moment. And I believe life is just the same for you and I. One day life will shake us. One day there will be things that will just rattle our cage, that will just disrupt life and disrupt the order that we have placed in our lives. I would like to encourage you with a Bible verse today, and it says this: because he is at our right hand, I will not be shaken. In other words, no matter how those earthquakes of life come to shake you and literally try to break you, because he is at your right hand, you will not be shaken. So the next time you feel that earthquake sensation in your life, and you just feel like there's nothing to hold on to around you, hold on to Jesus, because he is at your right hand. He's a friend that sticks closer to you than any brother. He will never leave you or forsake you. Even if your mother or your father leaves and forsake you, he will never leave or forsake you, because he is at your right hand. You will not be shaken. This is Pastor Cedric of Commitment Church with another Weekly Wire. If you know anyone who is being shaken right now, please pass this video on to them. And as always, stop by our website at loveallnations.org. May God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.